Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run down Port O'Connor way now and check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith, see what he's up to. Morning, Lynn. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man. Well, I was at the fishing show last night, so I was walking around, you know, bringing up old memories. I tell you, into a lot of good friends. Yeah, talked to a lot of old friends. It was a good time. Good time was had by all.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, it is.
How'd the seminar come out?
It came out good. Had a good crowd. Good crowd. Yeah, and everything worked out good. But anyway, it was a big crowd there last night. It had a good turnout.
Well, that's
so
good.
That was good. Yeah. So anyway, I left there kind of early, and then I went out to eat with a couple. And I'll tell you what, this town, the traffic in this town is incredible, man. You know, after living in Port O'Connor, oh my goodness, yeah, it's incredible. You know, we went out to eat over on the west side of town, and I don't even recognize anything anymore.
No, brother. It's
I lived out
right
that
before
way.
Our eyes, man.
Hey, I used to goose hunt out that direction, you know, between Highway 6 and Fulshear.
Yeah.
And
good luck
and all
that
that's
now.
Built up. I couldn't believe it. You know, a friend of mine, his grandfather owned that property, like from Highway 6 to Fulshear, Cinco Ranch and all that.
Right.
And we goose hunted out there. That was all rice fields, you know. And all that's just houses. I mean, it's incredible.
And, it is.
Man.
It's turned
man,
that way out
recognize.
My way, too, east of town. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd have left here just 10 years ago and now I would, you know, return and come back and see what I see now, I'd have never believed it in 10 years.
Oh.
It's just unbelievable.
I told this couple, I said, I don't recognize a thing. Nothing. I mean, if they didn't have that GPS on their truck, I wouldn't have known where I was. It was incredible. Oh man, this town is growing like crazy. Growing like crazy.
Not
probably
getting
every
any
direction.
Better. Just no. More and more.
No, it's not. In fact, when we came back to their house, his wife said, "You know," she said, "we can't pull out of our subdivision when school's in session. It's 7:30 in the morning. You can't turn left because of the traffic. You've got to turn right." And I said, well, it's not going to get any better. And they said, no.
Kids don't ride the bus anymore. They have their parents take them to school now.
Right, right.
If they rode the bus, it would eliminate that traffic a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Oh, I know people that go and pick up their kids out my way in Barbers Hill, and it'll take them, the school's 10 minutes from their house, and it'll take them 45 minutes to sit in line and pick their kids up and then come home.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's just my way in little old Chambers County.
Oh, man. It's not like it used to be, is it? They said, no. We might have to think this over. We might have to move.
Where to, though?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that everywhere.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man, oh, man.
Talk about pressure on the fish, because, I know there's just a small percentage of us that fish, but when you got that many people now and that same percentage, it just puts a lot of pressure on the resource, buddy.
Well, that's right. It's like I was telling them at the seminar last night. I said, Fridays are like a Saturday now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, boats you see. And, there were days when I would go down on the shoreline, like between Panther Reef and Ayers Dugout, and never see a boat all day.
I know.
Not one boat. And now, there's a lot of pressure, And of course, you see those boats burning the shorelines, and that just, that burns me up. You see a boat.
Yeah, I hate looking at Google Earth and all those, live Google Earth and looking at all those prop scars through all the grass, man.
And what gets me is you're wading the shoreline and you see a boat coming and he's burning the shoreline. And you look up and you wave your hat at him and it goes out and around you and then gets right back on the shoreline.
Right back in there and hits that, see him. Got to see him and punch him in. Come back to him later.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness, that kills me.
Times have changed, especially in that, using your skills and just driving out deep on a shoreline, looking in and looking for bait and slicks and stuff like that. Nobody fishes like that anymore. You got to see them. Seeing's believing. Watching, see them firsthand.
Watching the birds, they just don't do it.
No.
It's terrible. It really is.
Instant gratification. Don't want to work for it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, Rudy Grigard would pull his hair out, wouldn't he? What would he have?
He'd have a heart attack, man. He'd self combust. He'd burn himself up right on a flat waiting.
I can see it happening now. poor old Rudy.
Oh, man. Oh, God rest his soul.
I'm telling you.
He was here through the good of things, but he really, when he left and went to Chandeliers, he missed the man from the 80s up to about 2000. That was some of the best trout fishing of all time, from the old timers' perspective to these new guys now. It was just
absolutely,
we hit it perfect. We were in the right, era.
Oh yeah, I was lucky enough to fish with Rudy,
My dad used to work for him when I was born. My dad was working for Rudy, running his marine supply store over there by the docks on the channel. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Supplied all those ships, and they'd get a ship come in. They'd call Rudy and say, "Hey, man, we want 600 pounds of trout when we leave in 4 days. Can you get us 600 pounds gut and gilled?" And he said, "I got you covered." He'd go wade fish night and day till he got 600 pounds.
Oh, man. Well, he was a heck of a fisherman, I'll tell you.
He was. He was born for it. It's in his blood.
Man. He was crusty. Crusty little guy.
He was. He had barnacles on him.
Yes, he did. He had that camp over there at Panther Point. And
oh, man.
those commercial fishermen burned him out.
Oh, they burned him out. They run him out of town. He had to leave, or they'd have killed him.
I know it. They would have. They would have. I guarantee you.
They were just jealous because he was catching as many with a rod and reel as they were with gill nets.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man.
Well, those gill netting days, man, that's, boy, Blaine and I, we went through some rough times in the early 80s with those guys. It was, it was scary.
Oh, yeah, I know it. I know it. You know, I went into a lake one day. That lake was just solid redfish. I mean, you could almost walk on them. There was so many in there. And, oh, man, you just, every cast, I mean, just, you know, the bait would hardly hit the water and you had a fish on, you know. And I got out of there. And I went back in there the next day. There wasn't one fish in that lake, not one.
You could
see dead fish on the bottom, mullet, stuff like that, you know, trash fish.
Yeah.
And those netters had gone in there that night and wiped them out. They wiped them out. But they just cleaned them out.
Boy, I watched them whittle on up in Jackson, Anahuac Pocket in the back of Trinity Bay. I watched them whittle on those schools of redfish. That's back when we had football fields of them. Just, I mean, they'd get to rooting up, and, you know, with the drum and everything else and feeding in the afternoons, and they would muddy the water up. The entire back of that bay would be chocolate milk mud from all the mud boiling and,
oh, yeah,
and everything. And I watched them netters whittle on those fish for a good year and a half, 2 years. See, it was still legal to net Trinity Bay back then when the whole coast was closed. Chambers County, you could still net in it. And, oh, God, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of pounds of, you know, red drum were taken out of the bay back in those days, and it was legal.
Yeah.
And when they shut that down, it really got gnarly. And a lot of threats. Man, I tell you, Blaine and I were real good friends with the game wardens back then. Had to be so they could watch our six. I mean, those guys, they played for keeps. They didn't mess around. That was their livelihood. And
yeah, sure.
They didn't want anybody interfering with it. Even after it was all closed, they were still doing it. And, man, that outlaw gill net and stuff went on for years. And
it did down here, too. Port O'Connor and San Antonio Bay, all that area.
Yes.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it still happens. You know, the game wardens still catch a few. Yeah. It still happens.
You remember the beach seining back then? Man, it'd run up its way out and make a big circle and then pull them all in. And, man, you just thought were catching trout. Man, I can't believe how many trout, as long as your leg, just stacked full of it in those purse, you know, those seines, those beach seines.
Oh, listen, we used to do it as a family. You know, when I was a kid, we'd do it once a year. We'd get our families and my aunts and uncles and all that, and we'd rent a beach seine and go down to the beach there out of a rollover and go out and just have a seining party.
Right.
And you might go out there maybe once or twice, and you had more trout and redfish than you could haul off. You know?
Right.
It was incredible. But we did that once a year, you know. And, I mean, it was a lot of fun, you know, family-wise and all that.
Yeah.
And have a big beach party. But you never realized how many trout and redfish were in those surf, you know. Just didn't know it.
That's it.
Yeah. But they were there, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, Blaine and I went through some rough times, you know, a lot of threats. And I remember one netter cocked a 357 Magnum and stuck it right in Blaine's face, told him, I'll blow your head off. I mean, that was the kind of stuff that was going down back then. You had to really watch your back. Oh, I had my truck sabotaged. I'll tell you more about it when we come back from this break. Let me knock this quick break out, Lynn. We'll talk some more.
All right.
Be right back.
All right.
All right. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much.
With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:18. All right, Lynn, we are back, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, man, there was some, a lot of shady stuff went down back in those days. I remember one morning I pulled around a double bayou, had an east wind about 25, and this was in the 80s. And I think I was running a Mako, Lynn. I'm not real sure. I think I was running a 21 Mako, and well, I lied out down the shoreline to head down to the south end where I wanted to wade that morning, and I hit a gill net. I felt my prop hit it when I went through it. You know, they're around white herring, and I got down by Lone Oak and hit another one. And I mean, there's no way to see them, and because they were illegal, they weren't marked. And you know, as long as you're on plane, you just cut right through that webbing. You know, running 30, 40 miles an hour. And I hit one down around Little Hodges. Anyway, I ended up hitting four of them on the way down to where I was fishing. Well, we get out and wade that morning and everything. And when we come back in that afternoon, I get ready. I pull my boat out of the water. I went to get my truck, and there's dead trout holes, old rotten trout holes, hanging all over my mirrors, all over my hood, on my trailer. You know, just, it was nasty. Huh. So, you know, I'm pull out all that crud off and put it in a bucket and dump it in the bio there. And so I back in and clean my people's fish, and I'm heading home, and I'm driving down a farm road there, coming out headed towards I-10, and one of my trailer tires comes off. I didn't know it was mine. This tire just come flying by me and went in front of me and ran off in a cow pasture out there over a barbed wire fence. And I said, that was one of my trailer tires. So I pull over, and I get to looking, they'd loosened all the lug nuts and pulled a lot of them off of my trailer, all four trailer tires. So I ended up having to scrounge around. I went out and got that other tire out of the the field, jacked my trailer up, put it back on, and I had to come home with three nuts on each wheel. That's all I had enough to, you know, keep my tires on. And
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I crisscrossed them and torqued them down good where they wouldn't come off again. Well, my truck stalls. And back then, I had an 80-something Chevrolet. Remember, you'd had the dual tanks in them where you'd switch over?
Well, right.
It stalled, and it wouldn't start back up. And I said, man, I thought I had enough gas in that tank. So I switched over to the other tank and grinded on it. It wouldn't start. Well, little did I know, they filled my tanks up with sugar.
Yeah, sugar.
Mm-hmm. So here I am on the side of the road. Back then, no cell phones, nothing. This old boy stopped, and he gave me a ride up to Anahuac to the store there, and I called my mechanic buddy that did all my work on my vehicles, and he sent a wrecker out, and one of my other buddies showed up with his truck and pulled my boat home for me. Well, he calls me back from the mechanic shop and said, hey, man, your tanks are full of sugar. I'm going to have to pull them out, send them to the radiator shop, and I got to go through your carburetor, you know, and I may need to pull the intake off and all that. I said, hey, do what you got to do, man. And he said, oh, and by the way, every lug nut on your truck, every lug nut was loose on it, front and back.
Oh, my God.
How about that? That could have killed somebody, you know? I mean, that's the kind of stuff we went through. And, you know, I didn't do that intentionally, but they must have thought I did running through their nets that morning. But you can't see them when it's just barely daylight and there's no floats on them to mark them. They just know where they are because they're doing it illegally. And
right.
The same thing happened to Blaine. He hit some one morning running out, and the guy, after he got through running his nets and filling his boat up with fish, he had a big old huge flat bottom aluminum boat with a 235 Evinrude on it. And we're waiting, and he comes by us as fast as that thing would run, which was probably pretty fast. And the buddy with him took this big, huge redfish and launched it at us, and it went right between us. If that had hit us, it had killed us.
Huh.
And it was pretty sporty back then.
Oh, yeah.
You had to watch out.
About the same time, one of my customers from Port O'Connor, we were talking, and he said, you ever fish Baffin? I said, oh, yeah. He said, man, my two boys are coming in from college. He said, would you mind taking us to Baffin? I said, sure, that'd be great. So I went to Baffin, and I went to Rivera, and they met me in Rivera. Well, as I pulled into the motel in Rivera, there were three guides standing off to the side, and as I rolled into this motel, one of them pointed at me. He knew me. He knew my truck and everything. Well,
right.
I pulled into that motel, and anyway, I didn't think much of it. Well, the next morning, I got with my guy and his two boys, and, you know, we went to eat and everything. Well, the next morning, I came out to get my truck and go launch and everything, and I had three flats. I had a flat on my truck and both my two flats on my boat trailer. Yeah. And my customer, he knew Doug Pike, and so did I. And so, boy, he was hot. Well, he called Doug and told him about it. Well, Doug wrote a big article in the Chronicle about, you don't own these bays, you know. And he wrote a real good article about it. And you know, that's a fact. I mean, you know, nobody owns these bays.
No. It,
everybody can fish them, you know.
Right.
You don't need to do this. I mean, I felt sorry for the guy. His two boys came from college and came down, and it ruined the day for him, you know.
Yeah.
It ruined the day.
They don't care.
No, they don't care. No. But I was able to get my tires aired up and all that. All it did is ruin the valve stems on the tires, luckily. They didn't slice the tires.
Lucky they didn't stick a knife in them. I had my tires knifed one time at Smith Point.
Yeah.
Just on the boat trailer, all four of them. You stuck a knife in the sidewalls.
Oh, that's not good.
No road hazard on that, bud. That's four new ones.
Oh, howdy. But, yeah, that's not fun. It ruins the day for you.
Yeah, it does. That's
more ways than one. Yeah.
there was a lot of shady stuff went on back in them days. And, you know, luckily we had the game wardens, you know, behind us, and they were trying to keep tabs on that. And I had a netter come to my house one time and threaten me and my family because I took a game warden fishing. Mike Walker used to be a game warden in our county over there, and he was good friends with everybody, just a nice guy. And we kept telling him about what we were seeing. You know, during the day while we were wade fishing, these guys would hurry up and run out there and a big flat bottom, and they'd put these nets out in the water, and then they'd get in the water with boat paddles and start beating on the water and run all the trout and reds in that net and then pull them up and then take off. I mean, they'd do that in like a 30-minute time frame. And so we took him fishing with us one day, and he saw it firsthand what they were doing. And he knew who they were. He recognized them. And I think they ended up getting busted a week or two later for that same thing. And then they came to me because I took him fishing, and they threatened me and my family and everything. And I called Mike, and he was at my house in 30 minutes. And man, I don't know whatever went down with that, but it was bad news. Thank God we don't live in a world like that anymore.
No. Thank goodness.
Risky business back then.
Oh boy, I mean it was rough.
And you know, we didn't have any communication. We didn't have cell phones and everything like we do now.
No, that was pretty bad. Pretty bad. Yep. Well, you know, I remember I ran out one morning there in Port O'Connor. I ran out and I saw an old boy, a fairly young guy, picking up a gill net, and he evidently he had overslept and he left his gill net out. He was picking it up, but boy, he was giving me the evil eye, because boy, I ran by him, and man, he looked a little sheepish, you know. He was picking that net up, but I thought, man, I couldn't believe it, you know. And I thought, I'll swing by there and ask him what he thinks he's doing, but he knew he was in the wrong. He never put it back out in that area again, but at least not in the daylight he didn't.
Yeah, old Bob God Brister with the Chronicle, God rest his soul, he wrote a lot of stories about, you know, all the outlaw netting that was going on back in those days. And
he wrote
a good story on me one time called A Meshed in Emergency. That's when I got my right ankle tangled up in a gill net when my boat broke loose from a reef. The wind had swished, and I had a Danforth anchor, and it flipped it over going the other way, and it drug off of the shell, and then when it got in the mud out there, it grabbed and held my boat enough so I could swim to it. And when I got, I don't know, 30 yards from my boat, I had to take my waders off, everything, and leave them on that reef with the guys and hold my rod and everything and to go get the boat. And when I put my right, you know, how you'll kind of stop and rest and to tread water a little bit, I put my feet down, and my right ankle and foot went perfectly into one of those squares in the gill net full of rotten fish. You could smell it in the water. You know, somebody had put a strike net out there, and they didn't ever come back and pick it up. It was full of dead and rotten fish. And I could think to do, instead of panicking, I just held my breath, and it just went underwater. And I reached down, and I was able to slip my foot right out of that net and then get in the boat and go pick them up. And I called the warden and said, hey, man, there's a net here. I could have drowned in it. And actually what had happened, I thought my anchor hung in the mud, but actually it hung in that gill net. And that's what kept my boat from drifting way farther off. And, Brister wrote an article about that. I think it was called A Meshed in Emergency.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure I got it somewhere in a shoebox or somewhere, but that was a scary time right there. You know,
I'm telling you.
If I would have panicked, I wouldn't be here today, I can tell you that. But luckily it was in the top of the net, you know, the way it was stretched out with the tide and everything from the weights and the floats on top of it. It was only about 3 feet under the surface.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, one of the best things you can have on your boat is a pair of side cutters, you know.
Yeah.
Not only for nets, but for crab traps.
Right.
And because, I mean, how many times have you wrapped a crab trap around your prop?
Yeah,
you know,
that usually happens when you're idling around. It'll suck it up in there, and
exactly
that trap will wrap around your prop and it looks like a snow cone.
Exactly, yeah.
And if you don't have any side cutters or cutting dikes, you're done.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly right. You'd have to get out of the boat and unwrap it. You know, I mean, right. I've had to do it. But I remember I was back in one of the lakes, and we were drifting a lake, you know, catching redfish. And I turned around to idle back out and to make another drift. And, boy, I wrapped a old crab trap around my prop. I mean, it was wrapped up tight around that prop. You know, I never saw that trap, but I wrapped it up. Yeah.
Boy, howdy.
That's one of the best things we ever had happen down here was crab trap removal. And an old friend of mine, Ronnie Luster, he started the crab trap removal. He passed away this last year, and recently. Nice guy. I liked Ronnie. And anyway, he started that crab trap removal, and you wouldn't believe all the crab traps that we picked up in the bay system. They do it every year now, and they give them.
Yeah, it's about that time of year now that they do it too.
Yeah, it is.
I have to look that up.
And it's amazing how many are left out in the bay.
Oh, and, abandoned crab traps? Oh, yeah. And the storms will come, and they'll wash them away and you know, across the bay or whatever, and the crabbers can't find them. And,
the floats come off.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, it is. And first year we did it, I took my airboat. And I said, we'll get the ones up in the real shallow water. Well, oh, my goodness. I mean, I filled up my airboat with those things. And, I mean, I even found one crab trap, had a redfish in it, live redfish, you know. And, you just find all kinds of stuff. But I filled that airboat up with
crab traps. I bet you did. Probably could have filled it up several times, yeah. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang with me.
All right, man.
Well, you know, folks, if you need pipe and valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you. Call them at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, Liam, we are back, my friend.
You know, over there in Shoalwater Bay, and you might be familiar with this, there was a plane crash over there. You remember that?
I remember it was
World War II, War II trainer. And for years, there was a lot of the parts off that plane sticking up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in the 70s and 80s. There were still pieces of it sticking up. And, it's all down in the water now. You can't see it. But anyway, I never will forget one year I was in the bay there, and I was in my airboat, and I was drifting, and I was standing up on the top seat of my airboat, and I was just drifting. It was a light south wind, and I was sight casting to some reds. And when I got over by that plane wreck, I was just drifting over, and I looked down, and there was an abandoned crab trap, and it had I could see there were a couple of crabs in that old trap, and there were two reds. I mean, nice reds, you know, 26 to 28 inch reds.
Isn't that something and they can get in those traps like that?
Yeah, but they were these big reds were nosing that old trap, trying to get to those crabs. they were going up there and they were bumping that trap, trying to get those crabs out of it. Yeah. That was something while I was casting to them. And, boy, they were just bumping that trap, trying to get those crabs out of it. It was something. But,
man.
Yeah, yeah. But that water was gin clear, you know, and you could see them.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You know, we got on a pattern like that one time, one year, I don't know, in the 90s or whatever, in Trinity Bay. When you'd cut a drift down off a deep flat, and you'd cut a drift down there where the crab, everywhere there was a crab trap, you'd hit a little pod of fish. I mean, every mm-hmm. time. And I just thought, there's got to be, that trap's attracting whatever bait they're wanting, you know, because,
yeah.
I mean, whatever the bait is in that trap, it's attracting other bait fish and plus the crabs that get in there. And that was just,
yeah.
That was a pattern I know for a good month and a half in the summertime one year up by, close to Jack's Pocket there from the spillway back to the north a little bit off that ledge mm-hmm. up there they used to run them. And if you get you a good northeast wind, you could drift right down that edge of crab traps and you'd catch, four or five big trout every time you'd go by one. It's crazy.
Well, it stands to reason. You know, you look at those traps, and there's always bait fish, seems like there's bait fish swimming in them, you know, like for protection, you know.
Right.
They get in those traps, and they kind of swim around in there for protection. So, consequently, there's, you know, the game fish are trying to get in there, man. They're bumping those traps. They really are. I see them cruising around those traps. You really do. You'll always see those reds swimming around those traps. Especially down Port O'Connor way, because that water's clear. You can see those fish around those traps. That's a good spot. Now, when I see a trap, if I see a float, you know, I work my way over toward those traps because I know there's going to be a redfish around them somewhere. You know,
right?
Now, almost
true.
Always. Yeah.
So
I guarantee you. little tricks we learn, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee you.
I used to hate it, though, when I'm fishing and making slick loops and all that, looking for, you know, the right kind of slicks. And every time a customer poked you on the shoulder, there's one over there. I said, that's off a crab trap. Well, how do you know? I said, well, at least it's directly downwind of that ball. See that ball there? That's a crab trap.
That's right.
They're in there eating a bait, and it's making the slick.
That's right. And you can smell it.
We fish all day on those slicks and never get a bite. And then you pull up in the real deal and I go, oh, now I know what you were looking for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell people, too, you know, you can smell those slicks, too. You can smell that crab trap slick, you know. But a lot of times those fish, like I said, those redfish nudging those traps are also making the slick, you know. If that's a fresh trap, if mm-hmm. that crabber has baited that trap recently, and
right.
those redfish are nosing those traps, it'll make a slick.
Sure it will.
It will make a slick. But I've seen that happen a lot.
Yeah, a lot of times when they pull them up and then put them back in the water, it'll do that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Man, a guy, a listener, he was hearing us talk about the gill net stuff. He sent me a video, and he said, I thought you might like to see this. I reported these guys a few years ago, and the game warden actually got them, busted them. He sent me the video, and it's from a drone, and it shows these guys putting out a net in the San Jacinto River up in Ben's Branch, he said. He said he couldn't believe it. And it shows the video of them running that net. That's just crazy.
Man,
they'd have a tough time in court on that one.
That
there's
the
all the evidence you need. Drone video.
Oh my goodness!
Have you ever had drone come over you while you're fishing?
No, I haven't.
Boy, I have.
Really?
I'll be out in the bay fishing, and I'll hear something, and I'll go, what is that noise? And then I'll start looking up, and I'll find it. And it's sitting there hovering right, you know, up high over our boat watching us catch fish.
Really?
Yeah. Modern technology, baby. You can't hide anywhere nowadays.
No, no.
And these guys that have these drones, they're good with them. I've got a friend that lives out there on the bay down from me, and he's got a video. He sends me several of them all the time. They're building this huge spoil island out in the middle of Trinity Bay, right over some great fishing grounds out there, and all that Lost Reef area off the deep end of Dalles and out that way. And it's been a dredging project going on for a while, and he'll update me and send me videos of how much bigger that island keeps getting. It's just crazy. He'll fly way out there in the bay and then bring it back. It's pretty cool.
Huh. Man, I know they're wanting to really dredge this channel, our channel, into Port Lavaca. And
right.
I hate it in a way, because they're going to really cover up a lot of good shell.
Oh, yo, and, no doubt.
Yeah, and I mean, really good fishing area. And I know they're going to cover it up.
Boy, it creates a lot of silt too, man.
Oh, big time, big time. And this one area in particular, I really like it. I mean, that we catch a lot of trout on that area at shell. And it's some good shallow shell, and then it drops off to about 8 feet. Oh, man, those trout really move in there.
Yeah, that runs along the Lavaca channel, kind of like our ship channel, like the way we fish our reefs and towheads and stuff on our Houston ship channel. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I know good and well they're gonna dredge it, and they're gonna ruin that whole area. Yeah. It's gonna happen. But
it will happen, I guarantee. Depends on where they put the spoil. Used to, they would make these retainment levees, you know, these big projects, and dump the spoil inside of them. And now they've got one they've been building over there between Smith Point and East Bay. That thing's, you know, it's just dumped into the bay. And way over my way, it's not retained at all.
Well, we got that one island right there by our jetties. You know, everybody calls it Bird Island. Of course, everybody has a bird island.
Everybody's got a bird island. How about that?
That's right. And anyway, speaking of that bird island, it was funny. The friend of mine, his job is to take care of Bird Island. And anyway, he goes out there and mows it a little bit, and, you know, kind of takes care of for the birds and all this.
Right.
Well, he went out there one year and was mowing it and everything, and he hit a barrel that was partially buried in the sand. Well, he hit that barrel, and bees came out of it.
Oh,
and
Lord.
The bees jumped on him and this other guy that was with him. Well, they ran and jumped in.
Like African bees or wood hornets?
I don't know, but they attacked him. And so he and this other guy ran and jumped in the water, and they got away from the bees. Well, I was at the coffee shop the next day, and he and his buddy came in there, and they had on bee suits and everything, you know, and they were going to go back out there, and they were going to spray the barrels. This was in December. And so they were going to go out there and spray the barrels. And I said, well, good luck, guys. And they said, yeah, we're going to get those bees, man. We got stung, and we're going to take care of this. Well, they went back out there, and they sprayed in the barrels. And 13 rattlesnakes came out of that barrel.
Oh, Lord.
13 of them. I've got a picture of it. And, I mean, some of them were over 6 feet long. And luckily it was cold enough that they weren't too active, but they came out of there. And only one of the guys had a pistol. And he was shaking so much he couldn't hit them. And the other guy had a hoe with him, and they were able to kill these rattlesnakes. But I mean, that was a bunch of rattlesnakes, you know.
Yeah, that's a snake den, I mean, right there, buddy.
Yes it was.
That's funny you brought that up. I watched a video last night of a woman called a snake handler. She was rinsing off her outdoor furniture. You know how they put those vinyl covers over like a couch and chairs and all that? And she was just rinsing them off. And the couch started buzzing. She could hear a rattlesnake under that cover. So she called, you know, animal control or whatever, whoever they sent out. Well, he gets out there and he starts peeling that cover back with his grabbers. And he gets about halfway back, and you can see tails moving in there, and one of them rattling. There was like three rattlesnakes right there laying on top of the couch cushions and the back cushions for your back. They were all nestled up in there. And one of them was about 5 or 6 feet long. The other two were about 3 feet long. Three of them in there.
Oh, my goodness.
How about going out on a nice barbecue day and pulling the cover off and sitting down on a couch in the midst of a bunch of rattlesnakes? How about some of that? And then, you know, that happens. You know, we see that with copperheads, water moccasins around, you know, my area. You got couch cushions or chair cushions or anything on outdoor furniture, you better pick them up and look under them before you sit on them.
Well, my neighbor across the street, last week, she called me at 9 o'clock at night, just screaming. She's scared to death of snakes, and she's screaming. She said, I pulled in my driveway. I'm not gonna get out of my truck. Can you come over? I got a snake in my driveway. I went, okay, I'll be over there. She's had rattlesnakes over there before. Well, I got my pistol. I got a .22 pistol with rat shot in it, just for snakes, you know. Grabbed it and I ran over there. Well, she had this snake laying there on her concrete right beside her truck. She had the passenger side door open, and that snake was just laying there, you know, tongue sticking out. And I walked up there. I said, well, first off, that's not a rattlesnake. She said, what is it? I said, it's a rat snake.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't care what it is. Yeah, it's a good snake. I said, he's not going to hurt you. She said, I don't care. She said, just get rid of him. I said, okay. I said, that's a good snake. You know, he'll get rid of your mice and stuff. But, she's scared to death of snakes. But, see, I've killed some rattlesnakes over there before, and she's not real happy about snakes.
No.
So, anyway.
No, especially
rattlesnakes. She's got some brush. She's got some brush along the side of her house over there, about probably 20 yards from her house. Well, consequently, those rattlesnakes come out of that brush.
Right.
And she's had some big rattlesnakes right up there by her house. So she's not happy with snakes.
No.
So her she had a big chili patin plant growing underneath her stairway. And her dad came downstairs one day, and he walked downstairs and turned the corner around the corner there, and as he walked by that chili patin plant, he just happened to look to his right, and there's a rattlesnake up on that chili patin plant.
Oh, in the plant itself? Just in it?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Well, another thing people need to be aware of, too, is, you know, you have a lot of pot plants and stuff like that. Don't be reaching down in there to pull a weed. You look in that pot real good under that plant.
Absolutely.
Boy, that's a haven for them. My mom.
You better know it. You better know
called
it.
Called me one day, and I ran down to her house, and she said, "You are not going to believe the size of this water moccasin laying in." And she had some kind of like a small tree type plant, not a rubber plant, but something like that. And she was watering her plants. Well, I look in there, and the head on that thing was as big as my fist.
No.
And I drug him out of there with a hoe, and then beat his head in. And she was down on the other end of her patio watering some more, and said, "Oh my God, there's another one." I ran down there, and it was exactly the same size. These are the two biggest water moccasins I've ever seen. Heads as big as your fist, buddy. And I mean, big around, big old stub tails. You could smell them, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can smell them. You can smell them.
But they had found them a nice, warm, moist home, you know, to lay up in right there.
And, yeah.
Boy, if she'd have reached down there to pull a weed out or anything like that, she'd have got nailed.
Years and years ago, man, I had a girlfriend that lived off of Bissonnette, Southwest Freeway there, and she was weeding her flower bed, and she got popped on one of her fingers by a copperhead.
Oh, boy.
And she spent 2 weeks in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lady out my way years back that was weeding her flower beds, and a and a copperhead popped her on the thumb. They ended up having to amputate that thumb.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I don't doubt it a bit. Oh, those copperheads are bad.
They won't move. They stand their ground. They're not going to move. They're kind of lazy snakes, you know. Sometimes a cottonmouth will move. He'll get out of the way, even a rattlesnake. But a copperhead, if he's there, he's staying there. Not going to move.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I came downstairs.
People step on them so much, they don't move out of the way.
I came downstairs one day. I was walking over by my ice machine, and my drain off my ice machine, it was real dry one day. And I looked down where my drain goes in the yard, and there was a big copperhead drinking where my drain goes. And so I said, well, I'll have to take care of this. So I went and got a shovel. And I eased that shovel over there. I was just going to try to chop his head off with that shovel. Boy, he raised his head back, and he struck that shovel. Ooh. And, I mean, he popped that shovel. Man, I jumped back. I thought, man, I mean, he popped it, boy.
He was aggressive.
They are aggressive.
He was really not happy.
No. But I ruined his whole day, though. I did. Yeah.
Now I got a listener that called in, wants to know if there's anywhere he can shoot rabbits in the Houston area with a pellet gun. Man, that's out of my pay grade there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Go to the country, man. Go out in the country. Use a .22.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, Lynn, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you this spring, throw them out a number so they can get a hold of you, brother.
Yes, sir, man. It's fixing to happen. And not this week.
No, but a little setback this week.
Yes, we do. But anyway, they can give me a 361-935-6833.
All right. Lynn, always a pleasure, man. A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's fixing to happen, man. I'm ready to start.
There you go. All right, brother.
You better go.
You have a good Sunday, and get out of town.
Oh, I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go back to paradise.
I don't blame you. All right, brother. Be safe, man.
All right, man. You too. Yeah, have a good one,
later.
Mate.
All right, buddy. All right, all right. It's time for our top of the hour break and the national anthem. All that good stuff. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.